are just one day away from the start of the Solheim Cup at Finca Cortesín in Spain. Players and captains for Team USA and Europe have been gearing up for this big week with the hope of lifting the Solheim Cup on Sunday evening. We're talking all things Solheim Cup over the next 2 hours right here on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Golf Today on a Thursday. Damon Hack alongside Kira K. Dixon. Wonderful to have you, first of all, Golf Today. What are you most looking forward to? This is a big, big week.
Yes, it's a big week, first of all, because I get to be on Golf Today for the very first time in my illustrious television career. So I'm quite proud of myself. So thank you for having me, Damon. It's a pleasure to join you, as always. But it, as you said, it's a big week. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to how the five rookies on Team USA will fare at the Solheim Cup. Four of them have some sort of international team experience from their amateur careers when it comes to either the Curtis Cup or Junior Solheim. Of course, Cheyenne Knight has not had that experience, but she's not a rookie by any sense of the word. Yeah. So we'll see how they do when they step up to that first tee, that excitement. I'm sure they're all counting down the seconds until that first tee shot is over.
No doubt. For me, it's all about the captains. You know, I covered Stacey Lewis and Suzanne Pettersson at the height of their power, two of the best players to ever do it on the LPGA Tour. Each of them has won two major championships. Will Stacey Lewis be as meticulous as a captain as she was as a player? And Suzanne Pettersson, of course, one of the most fiery players to ever do it. How much will the personalities kind of bleed over from player into captaincy?
Yeah, we'll have to absolutely see how they do that.
Going to be a lot of fun. Let's take a closer look at Team USA. First of all, 12 women who will represent this team. Lexi Thompson, by the way, once the teenage sensation, now the most experienced player on the team. There are five Solheim Cup rookies, as Kira mentioned, including the rising star Rose Zhang. Captain Stacey Lewis trying to dial the right combination to stop Europe's recent dominance in this event.
And let's take a look at Team Europe, defending champions after their win at Inverness 2 years ago. Eight automatic spots along with four captain's picks for Suzanne Pettersson. Good mixture of veterans like Anna Nordqvist and Charlie Hull with some young up-and-coming talent like Lynn Grant and Maya Stark. And for more on Team Europe and Team USA ahead of today's opening ceremony, we send you out to Spain where we find Cara Banks and Paige McKenzie.
Yeah, hi, Kira. You do indeed. We are proud to be here live on site all week as we get ready for this, the 18th edition of the Solheim Cup to kick off tomorrow. Plenty of storylines, Paige, of course, emerging as we await this competition beginning tomorrow. One of the biggest, of course, is the fact that the European Solheim Cup team have the opportunity to three-peat for the first time ever in the history of this event. So should they get the job done, how significant would it be if they won three straight?
I think huge. And a lot has to do with development. If you consider how past Solheim Cup players have influenced future and current Solheim Cup players and what that can do for junior golf, amateur golf throughout the countries of Europe. But when you think about the opportunity to do so, it would be the first for them, but it wouldn't be the first opportunity. Going back to 2015, if you remember, the European team had come in winning two of the last Solheim Cups, and it was a pivotal point in the match that this happened. It was a failed concession. Allison Lee missed the putt. Charlie Hull walks away, but Suzanne Pettersson, who was also in the group, did not concede that putt to Allison Lee. That was a catalyst for Team USA. It fired them up. They were down 10-6 heading into singles after the group match play ended. And it changed and shifted. U.S. ended up winning. You could go to 2019, where Suzanne Pettersson redeemed herself at this event. I think she was left with a poor reputation after 2015, maybe unnecessarily so. But in 2019, nearly came out of retirement to come play on this golf team and won the cup for Team Europe with that sinking that putt. And when you think about what that would mean in the context of what Europe has done, they could easily say back in 2015, they had half of a hand on that trophy until that failed concession. And they won four out of the last six in spite of that. Almost, you could say that they were in position to win five out of the last six.
No doubt that putt from Suzanne in 2019 was iconic. And you look at the scoreline from 2019 there as well. You could say that the U.S. have had a very close chance to win three straight as well, because that was really a make or break putt for Suzanne. If she had not held that putt, the cup would have been retained by the U.S. as it would have been 14 apiece. So it's kind of ironic that Suzanne is captain for Europe this time as the three-peat chance comes up again.
It is an interesting thread that has gone through the Solheim Cup over the last decade. And given the Suzanne's history, where she's had maybe one of her lowest points of her career, one of the highest points of her career, and now an opportunity to make history for Team Europe this weekend.
Just quickly, as we look ahead to the opening ceremony, we're, of course, going to learn the pairings of the matchup for tomorrow morning's foursome session. Just tell us how more complex it is to put together a foursomes pairing than a fourball.
We hear a lot about the trying to match up the personalities, the style of play, the golf ball, but I think also knowing this golf course, and we're going to dive into it a little bit deeper later on once we do have those matchups, but the odds and the evens, deciding which player is going to play on each hole is very pivotal. I think that's where the pressure is on these captains.
Okay, a lot to look forward to on Spanish soil, and for more on one of the American players, let's send it down to the other member of our team who is here at Finca Cortesine, and that is Amy Rogers.
Thanks so much, Cara. Well, Nelly Korda made her much-anticipated Solheim Cup debut back in 2019. And that year, U.S. Solheim Cup captain Julie Inkster gave all the fans just what they wanted, a pairing of Nelly with her sister, Jessica. I remember them dancing, singing together on that first tee at Glen Eagles. And they teamed up again together in 2021. Well, this year, for the first time, Nelly will compete in this Solheim Cup without her sister. Jessica recently posted on social media that she is pregnant and expecting her first child, and she's missed much of this season due to injury. Now, Jessica's absence leaves not only a void in the U.S. team room, but especially with her sister, Nelly, who she said has loved just getting to play alongside the person she considers her best friend.
Yeah, I'm definitely sad to not have Jess here. First Solheim Cup without her. It's definitely been a little different, but I think the bigger picture, whenever I get to represent my country, it's been so much fun, and I get to experience new players and bond with other players too, so which is a lot of fun. But yeah, sad face not having Jess here. One, I mean, she's a veteran, so a lot of knowledge. For me, it was just a sense of being calm or sense of comfort when I played with her, especially, you know, I got to pair up with her in my first match at Solheim Cup. So that, you know, with all the nerves that you feel on the first tee made it much easier. And at the end of the day, I got to play with my best friend, and she has a spunky, very outgoing personality. So I think she brought that to the team room, just like Megan.
Well, this might answer my next question. How else are you trying to find then that sense of comfort and calm this week? Maybe Megan's helping a little bit with that.
Yeah, I mean, having Meg, or just getting to know the girls really well. I mean, throughout the years, I've gotten to know some of the girls really well. So being okay, being vulnerable enough to lean on one another, I think is what I've learned most throughout this, the Solheim Cups.
Having someone to lean on is a big part of just a team being a team. And Megan Kang, who is a close friend of Nelly Korda, said also today that these players tend to lean on each other a little bit more during these Solheim Cups that are played overseas. She said there's really a sense amongst the team that it's them against the world. Damon?
Amy, Nelly Korda, as you know, has played in two previous Solheim Cups. Been a tough out, 5-2-1 overall, undefeated, 2-0-0 in singles, exactly what you need and expect from a former world number one and a major champion. You have to believe she'll be one of those players that Captain Stacey Lewis leans on heavily for points and leadership. And lucky for us, we get to watch it all unfold, marvel at some great shot making, cheer and boo and cry and second guess, all starting tomorrow, 2 a.m. Eastern time on Golf Channel and Peacock, Saturday at the same time, and then Sunday singles, 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern time on Golf Channel and Peacock.
And still to come on Golf Today, she's a two-time European Solheim Cup member, the 2004 AIG Women's Open champion, and she's joining our show. Don't miss our conversation with Karen Stupples right after the break. We are less than 15 hours away from the first tee shots of the 2023 Solheim Cup. Team USA is looking to win its first Solheim Cup since 2017, while Team Europe is trying to win its third straight cup in a row. And speaking of Team Europe, there's a lot of experience on this team, including 31 previous team appearances and an overall record of 61, 43, and 14. So not just a ton of experience for this European team, but a ton of success.
No doubt, Kieran. Somebody knows this competition very well, our friend and colleague, Karen Stupples. Karen made her Solheim Cup debut in 2005, Crooked Stick. That was a win for the United States, but 2011 was a different story. Allison Nicholas made Karen one of her four captain's picks to represent the Europeans at Killeen Castle in Ireland, where the Europeans won the cup 15-13. Karen had a wonderful career, a couple of LPGA true wins, including the 2004 AIG Women's Open. Where did the time go? Twice a member of the Solheim Cup team, member of the Florida State University Hall of Fame, two-time All-ACC selection, the 1995 second team All-American. And great to have Karen with us. She'll be a part of the broadcast in Spain. You know, Karen, everybody talks about Friday morning and the tee shot. I want to know what the players are feeling on Thursday, one day away. What's going on in their bellies?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, they're finalizing their plans. They already pretty much know who they're going to play with at the start of the day. So they're kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do, if they're going to be playing in the foursomes, who's going to take which tee shots, where they're going to play. If they're waiting, if they're resting, then they get a nice, easy morning of it, wondering if they're going to go and support early on. So I think on Thursday, it's just finalizing the plans, getting the final preparations done, and then it comes down to trying to get a little bit of rest in. And then, of course, you have the opening ceremony to get to, so you're thinking about that as well. It's just a really busy week, and I think ultimately you're starting to ratchet the adrenaline a little bit. You're starting to get the fires burning in you for the victory, and I think in general everybody's starting to get really excited by this point.
And Karen, for that, speaking of that adrenaline, when we think about the rookies, they're going out to that first tee for the very first time. Out of all the rookies that we've got teeing it up this week, who do you think is really going to meet the moment, and who do you think might have a little bit of extra challenge to stay calm in this situation?
I think it's really interesting. I think the rookies are incredibly accomplished. All of them across the board have achieved in some way, shape, or form on the LPGA Tour or as an amateur. I think you've got players like Lynn Grant that is just a proven champion, and I think she's going to come out of the blocks firing on all cylinders. I think she's an impressive player across the board, very confident in general. You've got somebody like Rosang on the American side, honestly just come out from amateur golf to now on the biggest stage in golf. I think she may be a little nervous, but she seems to take everything in her stride. When you look at the other rookies, I think maybe a Gemma Driver might be a little nervous. I think maybe Andrea Lee might be a little nervous. And Lilia Vu has already said that she finds nerves a little bit of something, but obviously she's overcome those quite well this year. So I think it just depends on the older members of the team, the more experienced members, to kind of stick out with those rookies and just say, hey, if you need to talk it out, let's talk it out.
You know, Karen, Suzanne Pedersen was such a feisty competitor, gamesmanship. She would do whatever she could to get into an opponent's head. Can she be that way as a captain? Will that be a part of her captaincy over the next few days?
It's funny because that's how I see her from as a player, but from listening to the way Laura Davis talks about her from the team room, Laura says that she's been really chill, really, really calm. But I do think that once the tournament starts, I think that fire is going to be really hard to put out for Suzanne. And I don't think you can just turn that kind of competitiveness off. I think she's going to bring the heat for the players right from the word go. And I think the players will all respond to that. I think they enjoy that side of Suzanne.
And Karen, speaking of captaining for Team Europe, assistant captain Anna Nordqvist is also playing, but she's got a lot of responsibilities as that assistant captain, the late night meetings, the 5 a.m. call times to get on the bus. Describe what that challenge is going to be like for her this week.
It's going to be an interesting one for Anna. She's obviously incredibly experienced, so she knows how this all works. And I think, to be honest, Suzanne and Laura are going to kind of make life easier on her and just call her in for the odd, you know, discussion on who to pair with who, what order should they go out. I think it should be fairly simple. But the one thing that Anna does bring to the table that's slightly different is that she's inside the actual players' heads because she is one of them. So she can relay information to Suzanne that maybe the other players might not feel comfortable doing. So it's an interesting situation for her, and I actually think it's a really good spot for the European team to have her kind of on the inside with the players as well as being a vice captain.
Karen, clearly it's a windy day in Spain at Finca Cortesín. The weather and temperatures are warm. Is this golf course going to play firm and fast and perhaps a little bit linksy?
I think it's going to play. It's going to be a really hard golf course. I mean, we can't argue that fact. It's Bermuda grass, so you're going to have a lot of grainy shots. You're going to find some shots that are going to pitch into a lot of slopes. You're going to have some downhill holes where the ball's going to seem like it's going to go forever. I think in general there's a challenge across the board because you're going to have some bounces on the fairways that will, you know, kind of take the ball off into some trouble maybe. In general, it's a tough golf course. I think they're going to make sure that they keep some water on it because, you know, Bermuda grass, it does require quite a bit of watering. And with the greens being Bermuda, I think that's going to add a whole different element to this championship as well.
And the challenge starts 2 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Stubbs, have a great week, and thanks for the time.
No worries. I'm going to try and control my hair now.
No doubt. It's all a part of the challenge. All right, folks, the Solheim Cup train continues after the break. We'll welcome in Golf Week senior writer Beth Ann Nichols for her take on the week. That's right after this short break.
Welcome back to Golf Today. The past three Solheim Cups have brought a lot of drama to golf fans across the world. Back in 2017, the competition was held at Des Moines Golf and Country Club in Iowa, where the United States won 16.5 to 11.5.
Then in 2019, Solheim Cup headed to Glen Eagles. Katrina Matthews, European side, that came away with a 14.5 to 13.5 victory. Suzanne Pedersen made that clutch putt at the last. And then a couple years later at Inverness Club, another closely contested cup. It was again Team Europe that squeaked out a 15-13 victory. And for more, let's welcome in Golf Week senior writer, our good buddy Beth Ann Nichols. You know, Beth Ann, we had Jaime Diaz earlier this week say, what a special 2 weeks. It reminded him of the U.S. Open and the U.S. Women's Open back-to-back at Pinehurst in 2014. But yesterday, Stacey Lewis made comments suggesting that the Solheim Cup and Ryder Cup not really having a connection. Has this event been overshadowed?
I think a resounding yes. You know, I think for that not to happen, you know, what we needed to see was all the powers that be, the organizations come together and really develop a marketing plan that would promote, you know, the road to Europe for both the Solheim Cup and the Ryder Cup. Because anytime women's golf goes against a monster like the Ryder Cup or anything related to Tiger Woods, women's golf is always going to lose. And so I think you had to have the organizations, you know, really take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and make everyone view this as a fortnight of drama with this team golf. And unfortunately, you know, that didn't happen. And we saw the PGA of America release a video today with all the Ryder Cup players wishing from Team USA, wishing the American Solheim Cup players, you know, good luck. And, you know, it was a great video. You love to see that sort of thing. But it would have been cool if we could have seen that kind of synergy for the past year.
And Beth Ann, speaking of the past, we have always heard about this pod system that captains have used. And this week, the United States won't be going with the pod system. Do you think that that's a good thing?
I do, but I don't want to make that sound like the pod system is a bad thing, though, at the same time, because I really think the pod system came at a good time and served its purpose. Because when you look back to when Julie Inkster put it in place in 2015, the Americans were on a losing streak, and she didn't have the stats that Stacey Lewis, you know, can draw from this time around. They just quite simply didn't exist. And so the idea of giving something that players could rally around in terms of this personality test and creating this camaraderie within the pods, you know, really served its purpose in that the U.S. won two cups in a row. But now I think, you know, with the stats in place and so many rookies on the team, I think it's really important for players to be able to really get to know each other. And that's what they're saying. They're enjoying being able to play practice rounds with a bunch of different players. And, you know, you can eat together, you can do everything together. And I think that's important when you have this changing of the guard time for Team USA.
Well, the last time Team USA came into a Solheim Cup coming off of two losses was 2015 in Germany. What do you make of that team compared to this U.S. team in 2023?
You know, I've been thinking about Germany a lot because that's the mountain that Team USA has to climb. And if you lose three in a row, I feel like that's when the alarm bells start to ring. So it's interesting because when you look back on paper, I decided, oh, I'm just going to look up that team because, you know, my memory's a little fuzzy. I'm like, wow, Lexi Thompson is the only holdover from 2015. So when you really look at this new era that's being ushered in with American golf, you know, when you look back at that team, it has changed a ton. And another thing I think that's really different about that team is that all the rookies this year in 2023 are all collegiate players, former collegiate players who are very well familiar with team golf and match play, which started in 2015 with the NCAA championship. So, you know, Lilia Vu mentioned yesterday that she's been having a lot of fun in the practice rounds and that it reminds her of college golf. And that's a good thing for Team USA, because when you look at a lot of the players that they're going to be relying on to play well this weekend, it's college players.
And Bethann, speaking of a new era, what do you expect to see from the pairings for Friday morning foursomes?
Well, we're going to see a lot of new pairings for Team USA because they just have to. You know, Lexi Thompson doesn't have a player on this team that she's ever played with before in the Solheim Cup team in terms of pairing together. You know, Danielle Kang doesn't have a player on this team that she's won with at the Solheim Cup. So it's very different. Stacey's, you know, going to have to go to the drawing board here. You know, I'm expecting her to rely heavily on these rookies that have won major championships this year, and Allison Corpus and Lilia Vu, and of course, Rose Zhang. But then the opposite on the European squad, you might look at an Emily Pettersson ranked outside the top 100 and say, why did Suzanne pick her? And then you look at her record and you see that she's done really well paired with Charlie Hull. And when Suzanne says her picks, you know, revolved a lot around energy and pairings, you say, well, we'll probably see Emily with Charlie. You know, so I think, you know, there've been a lot of successful European pairings that can reemerge this year. But the thing that I think we're all looking forward to seeing that is a sure thing is Lynn Grant and Maya Stark, who are undefeated in foursomes play, even though they're rookies on the Solheim Cup team. It's odd to pair rookies together. But when it comes to representing Sweden in so many past competitions, they're undefeated in foursomes and actually won the Sunningdale foursomes together in 2019. And they made it very clear to Suzanne that they did not want to be broken up.
All right. Well, certainly a lot to look forward to. Thanks, Bethann. A pleasure as always. I'm sure we'll come to you again later for all of your reactions.
Thank you.
Golf Today continues. Opening ceremony of the Solheim Cup is done, and the morning foursomes are set for Friday. You're taking a look at them now. The five players, by the way, with Solheim Cup experience for the U.S. on this screen. Only Lexi Thompson has a winning record in foursomes at 3-2-1, 7-11-3 with these players overall. And for Europe, of the six players with Solheim Cup experience, five with a winning record that you see. Only Emily Christine Pettersson does not at 1-2-0, 21-10-3 overall in foursomes for Europe. And players that will not be playing in morning foursomes for the United States, no Lilia Vu, a two-time major champ. No Jennifer Kupcho, also a major champ. Angel Yin and Rose Zhang, one of the hottest players in all of golf. And then you see for Europe, no Carlota Segunda from Spain. Gemma Dryburgh, Caroline Hedvall, and Madeline Sackstrom also will sit out morning foursomes. Damon Hack and Kira K. Dixon back with you. Kira, your initial thoughts on who will play and who will sit?
Yes, I think it's really interesting that Lexi's going out first and she's going to be alongside Megan Kang. And for Lexi, you know, maybe it's a let's get it out there, let's get it out of the way. And she's alongside somebody who's extremely positive that will most likely help bring out the best in her no matter what situation arises. I love that we've got Maya Stark and Lynn Grant, those two Swedish rookies that really wanted to be paired together. They've been campaigning to Captain Suzanne Pettersson that they get that opportunity to be out with one another. And you've got Nelly Korda and Allison Corpus. Nelly will be with a rookie going up against Leona Maguire, the 2021 standout. And Anna Nordqvist, that assistant captain and arguably one of the most experienced players that's out in both teams.
Yeah, you're surprised Lexi's going first. I'm surprised Lexi's going out at all, to be honest with you.
Okay.
She's 133rd in putting average this season, 155th in driving accuracy. No top 10s this season, no wins since 2019. But she is the most experienced player on the American side, which does count for something. We have seen her be shepherded along by older players, by a Christy Kerr, a Morgan Pressel, a Paula Creamer. Now she's being asked to do likewise, to be a leader for this team, and she has not played well. To go out in alternate shot when she hasn't been putting well and hasn't been driving the golf ball well, I just wonder, is that the tone you want to set? Obviously, Stacey Lewis says yes.
Yes, and perhaps it's something in the stats as well that's telling Stacey Lewis that she wants to make that decision. She's been very much leaning on those stats, talking about how that's such a going to be such a strength to her captaincy. Yeah. And as far as players that we're not going to see out in foursomes on Friday morning, I'm surprised we're not going to see Carlota Segunda.
Yeah.
The Spaniard, the home game. Yeah. You would think that she would be out there on the first tee, you know, getting everybody hyped up for that moment. So. Yeah. Interesting to see that her name isn't there. And also either Rose Zhang or Lilia Vu. I really thought that they would be kind of anchoring those morning foursomes matches.
If emotion is a part of this competition, which it is, if pageantry and home soil is a part of this competition, which it so often is, I am right with you. The fact that Carlota Segunda will not be out early and first and loud and at all is a surprise. And also Lilia Vu, the number two player in the world, a two-time major champ, not out on Friday morning as well. Why don't we head back out to Finca Cortesine and welcome in Cara Banks and Paige McKenzie for their reaction.
Damon, thank you. Yes, always fascinating to learn who is going to play who on the first morning of the Solheim Cup. And you touched on a couple of perhaps question marks, having seen the two lineups. You know, first of all, I just want to say, wonderful moment to see both of the captains walk out on stage with the next generation, if you like. Stacey with her daughter Chesney and Suzanne with her two, her son and her daughter. For me, that was kind of the sign of the next generation. We haven't seen that. These working mums don't get to do that very often and share the moment with their children. That was wonderful. And some great speeches by some very, you know, pumped up captains. They're ready to go tomorrow morning. So it was just wonderful to see. It's always a nice start to this week. And then, of course, we learn the lineup. So what was your biggest takeaway from what was announced?
You know, hearing both Kira and Damon talk about that first matchup, to me, that was one of the strongest takeaways that I had when seeing these matchups. Not only is the European side going with their two rookies that are incredibly excited to get going and have had great success in partnerships before, not in the Solheim Cup yet, but in partnerships before, that was not a surprise. Maybe a surprise they were in that first spot. But to me, the Lexi Thompson, Megan Kang, that's going to get all of the headlines as it relates to why or what was Stacey Lewis thinking. I tend to agree that Damon, yes, she maybe was in poor form coming into this week. But if you dive a little deeper into why this partnership might work, things start to make sense. She is the most veteran player on the team. Megan Kang certainly has brought a lot to the table. But to me, this is why it's important to know and understand the golf course when setting up foursomes matchups. Take a look at the even numbered holes. Notice how many par fives and par threes are. Every single par five on this golf course is an even numbered hole. Three out of the four par threes are even numbered holes. What does this mean? That means the person that's teeing off the odds will be teeing off the odds and then having 14 of 18 birdie putts available on this golf course if they hit all of those greens in regulation. You say, well, does that mean Megan Kang is putting those birdie putts? No, actually, Damon, I think that what's going to happen in that partnership is that Lexi Thompson's actually going to lead the way with the putter. Megan Kang is the strongest ball striker on the LP or on the American side. She leads the strokes gain approach for the Americans, so that's why they put her with Lexi Thompson, who can be a strong driver and who, interestingly, is actually the fourth in strokes gained putting this season. Maybe her putting average isn't as good, but when you look, dial it down to exactly what it means from a 10-footer, Lexi Thompson is the fourth best on the American side, and I think that's why the two of them are paired together. She's got the senior leadership that the Americans want, and they're putting her in this position because they're partnering with a great ball striker in Megan Kang.
Yeah, she may not be embracing the role of the leader, but she is the most experienced. This is her sixth straight Solheim Cup appearance, and in the second match right out is Danielle Kang, who, as I mentioned, emotionally, I think, really buoys this team along. So Damon also mentioned the Christy Kerr dynamic that has been such a big part of Lexi Thompson's Solheim Cup story so far. They've played six matches together. They're undefeated. This is a new era, of course, where she is learning too and will indeed play with some new partners this week. Now, they go up against that rookie pairing. we're hearing that the rookies were asking to go out first, because I think our reaction straight away was, why would he send out a rookie pairing first? But in fact, you love this, don't you?
I do. And when you look at, again, the dynamic of what this golf course brings to these two players, Lynn Grant is the strongest player on the European side off of the tee. In fact, she's the strongest player in the field as it relates to strokes gained off of the tee. And you're partnering with the strongest player on the European side approach the green. Competitively, these two complement each other, and I think that's what's important this week. When we look at foursomes pairings, often we think in our head we want to have games that are similar because they're going to be playing alternate shot. Well, in this case, because of the dynamic of this golf course, you actually want a complementing partnership, and you have a strong driver and a strong approach play with these two. They also, I alluded to the history, they won the Sunningdale foursomes, which is a huge competition in the UK in which you can partner with male, female, pro, amateur, it's handicapped, but the two of them, in their own words, have gone undefeated in foursomes play.
And that is a great point to what we have been speaking about this week, and that although a lot of these players might be Solheim Cup rookies, they're not necessarily rookies when it either comes to match play or to international competition. You know, this is an example of a tournament that a lot of people may not be aware of, but it is a very prestigious one back in England. There's the International Crown that several players, particularly the Swedes, were on earlier this year, who are now, of course, part of that European Solheim Cup team. We can analyze this as much as we like on paper, but ultimately you don't know how it's going to feel when you step out on that first tee, and we don't know how this is going to play out until it all begins tomorrow morning.
Without question, and I will say, just as a preview to the first hole that I'm talking about, when you have one of those great drivers standing up on that first tee, it's a drivable par four. You might actually see players going for this green, much like Whistling Straits we saw on the Ryder Cup a couple of years ago. I don't anticipate maybe seeing that in foursomes play, but it's going to be an exciting match play golf course.
You know, as we look through the list of the lineups that we've just heard about, first of all, with that first grouping, you're expecting Lexi and Lynn to tee off that first hole?
I am. I'm saying this as it's a matter of fact. That is not a matter of fact, but that is my expectation.
Okay, and then we'll see how it plays on there out to your point with the birdie putts. When it comes to the rest of the pairings, the three matches that follow suit, any more surprises in there for you, or do you think particularly from the European side they were kind of given?
The European side, there was going to be very few surprises, at least in my mind, and they played out very much as I expected. I think when you look at the Danielle Kang, Andrea Lee, that may have been a surprise. But for me, it's not a surprise to see them in foursomes. Andrea Lee is not one of the strong birdie makers. So to see her in an alternate shot format versus a four ball, which is tending to be a little bit more aggressive, that doesn't surprise me. And you're pairing one of the best putters on the U.S. side in Danielle Kang with the second best or strongest approach player in Andrea Lee. So I think the two of them, same idea. They complement each other well, and it makes a lot of sense, again, to put some senior leadership in Danielle Kang out early for the United States.
Yeah, Nelly Korda, of course, Corpus, I know you know their games complement each other. Andrea Lee, I expect to see playing with Rose Zhang at some point this week, the two at Stanford Cardinal, but it's early days, and, you know, a rookie pairing is a bold move early, but one that we know Suzanne has gone with. We've spoken about Celine Boutier and Georgia Hall. They're an undefeated pairing in their Solheim Cup history, 3-0-1 record. We expect to see them together. You spoke a lot about Charlie Hull yesterday, potentially being the reason that Emily Christine Pedersen earned that pick. They've had a history of partnerships in this event before. We did wonder who Leona might pair with after her wonderful undefeated run. She was the only player to play all five sessions last Solheim Cup in 21, something we do not expect this year given the golf course. How do you think her and Anna will match up together?
I think they both have a great, steady, and intense personality as it relates to match play. I think when you look at the two of them, you can have Leona's putter with some of Anna Nordqvist's historically good approach play. So I think that partnership makes a lot of sense. I expect that we may see the Hedwall and Nordqvist in a four ball. I never expected Hedwall nor Carlota, to be honest, in a foursomes matchup, given that they have a little bit more erratic tendencies. So you have two very steady players in Anna Nordqvist and Leona. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so that might be why the answer to the question, Kira was surprised that Carlota isn't playing. This just not necessarily the format for her. You would expect to see her tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I believe she's only played in maybe four foursomes matches in the five Solheim Cups that she's played. So she intends to sit more in the foursomes, play more in the four balls.
And given her experience, she's really a veteran on this team. She would be fairly eloquent, I'm sure, to Suzanne Pedersen in where she would feel most comfortable. Suzanne probably knowing that as well. Anyone else who's sitting that surprises you? Damon picked out, obviously, the name Rose Zhang, but they do have five rookies. You don't want to necessarily play them all at once. And we are expecting everyone to sit out at least one session.
Without question. I again, when
you look at style of play, I didn't necessarily see Angel Yin playing in foursomes because she tends to be a little bit more erratic. However, given the fact, again, that this is such a complementary foursome, you actually may see her tomorrow. I wouldn't say there's a ton of surprises. Madeline Sagstrom, somebody that I expect to see in foursomes at some point this week. So maybe that would be the only one that I could have seen play today. That I'm a little surprised not to.
What about Lillian Vu, a two-time major champion this season?
Well, again, we're not going to see five matches. So they were going to have to sit some strength. Both sides are going to sit some strength in this morning session.
Yeah, you want some fresh legs coming out in the afternoon. Perhaps that is what we'll see. Angel Yin has a wonderful personality. Yes. We saw that come out as she walked onto the stage ferociously waving her American flag. There will be a lot of support, I'm sure, coming from those players that are sitting. It all kicks off really early tomorrow morning. We can't wait. We'll be here with our post-game coverage, of course. But for now, we'll send you back to studio with Damon.
All right, guys, a little Monday morning quarterbacking on a Thursday afternoon, but that's what we do.
We are back on Golf Today. A reminder, the Solheim Cup begins tomorrow right here on Golf Channel at 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Let's take another look at Friday morning foursomes. We've got Lexi Thompson and Megan Kang leading the way for the U.S. going up against the young Swedish rookie duo of Lynn Grant and Maya Stark. Danielle Kang, she's got her clubs back. She's with rookie Andrea Lee. So going up against Celine Boutier and Georgia Hall, an undefeated pairing. Allie Ewing, a veteran. Cheyenne Knight, the rookie. Both captain's picks. They'll go up against Charlie Hull. She's had an incredible season, especially in the majors. Captain's pick Emily Christine Peterson is outside the top 120 in the world rankings, but she comes alive in this format. And Nelly with the rookie and U.S. Open champ Allison Corpuz going up against assistant captain Anna Nordqvist and 2021 standout Leona McGuire. And earlier today, the two captains sat down with the media to speak through the pairings.
For me, I mean, I wanted to get off to a good start. I wanted to get out four really good pairings, and you know, that's kind of been my focus this whole time. So it was more about who matched up together versus even, I didn't even look at who was sitting, to be honest. I wasn't even worried about who was sitting. It was more just, what are my best four options?
And for my sake, I feel like I've had these four pairings down on paper for quite a few months now. It was more like, in what order do you play them? But I think both teams this year, I mean, we have so many great players. There are only so many that gets to play each session. Yeah, I think it's great to have both experienced and rookies out there getting to kind of get the hang of it, get the feel, and let them play.
Suzanne, what was your thinking putting Lynn and Maya out first?
Well, they've been asking for it, so here they go. Pretty much. Two great friends. They've obviously played a lot together through the juniors, know each other really well, and they had a big desire to play, so I'm just going to let them go.
Stacey, Lexi's form has been such a hot topic of conversation over the past couple of weeks. What are you seeing specifically out of her that gave you a lot of confidence to put her in the first match?
We started the week and I had a couple people kind of within our team between caddies and helpers come up to me and just say, you know, she's hitting it really good. And then it's kind of every day there's been more and more people telling me this. And with the data and the analytics that we have, I actually have their strokes gained from the practice of the last 2 days, and she's off the charts right now. So, I think the way she's been working really hard the last 2 months, and I think it was just a matter of time, but she's just, the drivers look great. I mean, just the ball striking looks better than it has in a long time.
Some interesting insight from the captains there. For more on tomorrow's matchups, we welcome in Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer for Golf Week and friend of the show. Beth Ann, what is your reaction to tomorrow morning's matchups?
Well, I'm first of all shocked by Lexi Thompson. but we're going to take Stacey at her word in that, you know, Lexi's looking unbelievable out there early week. Of course, it's always different when it's under the gun, but we also know that Lexi's bounced back from a lot of heartache and a lot of tough times over the years. So you know, there's no give up in Lexi. And so I'm really curious to see what that first tee shot looks like. I feel like it's going to be feast or famine for her for out of the gates.
I'm right with you, Beth Ann. How about the thoughts on who's sitting out tomorrow? Lily Vu, two-time major champ, the UCLA Bruin, or Carlota Sagana, who finished tied for third in Portland just a few weeks ago?
I'm not as surprised by Carlota, just given kind of the nature of her game, which is dramatic and a lot of fun, but also not as steady as other players, so maybe not ideal for this format. But I would expect her to be on the first tee physically, getting everyone excited and riled up. But in terms of who's sitting, I would have never guessed that Jennifer Kupcho, Lilia Vu, and Rose Zhang would all be sitting in the first session. That really surprises me. I realize that Stacey has said that no one's going to play all five matches, so I realize they all have to sit. But we also know just how important this first foursome session is in setting the tone for everything. And so I am surprised that someone as steady as a Rose Zhang, even though she's a rookie, is not in foursomes play, and that someone who's won two majors this year is sitting as well.
Well, Beth Ann, someone who is in foursomes play is Nelly Korda. She'll be going out with the rookie Allison Corpuz, and they've got kind of a big battle on their hands with Leona Maguire and Anna Nordqvist. How do you see that match playing out?
I actually think this might be the tightest match of the four. I'm deeply curious about it. I actually really like this Nelly Korda, Allison Corpuz pairing. They're both, you know, more quiet players. You know, Nelly isn't introverted, reluctant former number one. and I would say Allison Corpuz is very reserved as well. So I think they will both attack this kind of with the same type of energy. And I think that Allison will feel comfortable playing alongside Nelly. With Leona Maguire, I actually think she might take the lead here, given that even though Anna Nordqvist is by far the most experienced player, and the most accomplished on Europe's team, she hasn't been able to play as much as normal due to some, you know, things going on in her personal life. She's taken a break and also, you know, her captaincy duties. So I actually look for Leona, the star, the MVP of Inverness, to kind of take the lead there. But they're both, you know, steady, reliable players and will be a force.
Beth Ann, we're still a long way away from Sunday singles, but we do know the Friday morning foursomes. Who do you think is going to win the 18th Solheim Cup and why?
I think Europe is going to win this one. You know, I just think they're just so strong top to bottom. And the two players that are ranked outside the top 100 have so much experience and were picked for very specific reasons. You know, like you see Emily Pettersson here, who has a great record with Charlie Hull playing in the morning foursome. So a good partner for her. I really think that Suzanne, you know, just has this great vibe, this great energy. Players are really responding to the transparency that she set in the room. She let players know these pairings on Monday, so they've had a lot of time to think about them and feel comfortable with them. You know, I just feel like with this home soil advantage and the momentum that Europe feels, it's just a really tall task for a young American team. That should be really good in the future, though.
Europe, of course, going for three in a row. Beth Ann, we always appreciate your insights. Thanks so much.
Thank you.